Today on Real Radio.
This week, many of this church will board an airplane and fly to Jerusalem, and they're going to see an empty tomb. And just a stone's throw away from that empty tomb is the side of a hill, a cliff. And it still to this day has the shape of the skull. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was crucified there at the place of the skull and buried in a nearby tomb. And that tomb is emptied. The evidence is overwhelming. Eyewitness accounts. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was predetermined by God because, listen, number one reason, God's love is greater than the grave. You ever think of that? Listen, just because you die doesn't mean you're dead. It means you've moved. Where did you move? That's the question. Where'd he go? Jesus Christ, the Bible says, rose from the dead that we might have the assurance of eternal life.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's Good Friday edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his presentation that takes a look at the risen Messiah. If you were able to join us on yesterday's Real Radio, you know that Pastor Jack gave us just the tip of the proverbial iceberg of what any good lawyer might call a mountain of evidence for Jesus of Nazareth resurrecting 3 days after being put to death. Well, here it is some 2,000 years later, and they still haven't found the body. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in his presentation on this topic, the title of which is that traditional declaration Christians express to each other on Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once and for all for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God by being put to death in the flesh, but he was made alive by the Holy Spirit." Isn't that great news? Are you guys able to hear me okay? All right. I thought you had died there for a minute. Acts chapter 2 says, "O people of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth by doing this great miracle, these wonders and signs through him, as you well know. But unknown to you, you followed God's prearranged plan that Israel, with help of the lawless Gentiles together, nailed Jesus Christ to the cross and by doing so murdered him. However, this happened exactly as God had planned. God released him from the terror of death and raised him back to life again because death could not be keeping him down, nor could its wicked grip hold him. Isaiah said, the Lord will demonstrate his holy power before our eyes as a nation, and the ends of the earth will see the salvation of God." Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Who else was crucified? Many. Rome killed millions of people by crucifixion. But how many people in the history said, "I'm going to be crucified"? And he said it for years, by the way. Quoting scripture, thousands of years old, about his very, very death, saying that he was going to be crucified. Over 1,000 years before Jesus was born, King David prophesied that Christ would be crucified, that he'd be nailed through his hands and his feet. Jesus said, "I'm going to be crucified." 3 days later, risen from the dead. It was no accident. The Old Testament prophets before Christ was born announced that many were appalled at the sight of him. "For his appearance shall be as one disfigured beyond any that of any mortal man, and his form marred more than the likeness of humanity. So he will sprinkle many nations, and the kings of the earth will shut their mouths when they see him. For what they were not told, they shall see, and what they have not heard of, they shall understand." Isn't it awesome that the greatest political power is one who came wearing a robe and sandals and riding on the back of a little donkey? The creator of the universe, says the Bible, clothed himself with human skin, and he suffered like we suffered. He laughed, he cried, he ate, he was hungry. The Bible says that he felt everything that you and I feel. And maybe this morning you have gone through so much in this life and you would say, Jack, I would love to believe your story, but I've had a horrible life. Maybe you've had a life of being molested or a life of just severe poverty or whatever it might be. And you say, how can God care about me? My friend, I do not understand, but I know this. God says that he loves you and that the very life you have lived, he is now poised and ready to turn that life around. And for those of us who have had a weird kind of life, there's something about it. When you're mocked, made fun of, rejected, scorned, abused, whatever it might be, when God comes into your life and gives you a purpose for living and you find out that Jesus died for you personally, then you know what? I tell you what, though you'd be a stuttering, stammering, fearful little guy, you can stand up in front of thousands of people on a Sunday on April 11th because God will change your heart. He'll change your life. His power is so great. You might be sitting here this morning saying, well, I got it all together. No, you don't. Well, apparently, Pastor, you didn't see the car I pulled up in. I got it all together. God has given you that car and your good health and everything else you have. And in a moment, he can take it away. So be careful. You may have strut into this place, but you better humbly walk out. For the Lord, he alone is king. He is the Lord. The Bible tells us that Jesus willfully died. Jesus said, I'm going to lay my life down. And when I'm done laying it down, I'm going to raise it up again. I've been alongside a lot of dying people, but no one's ever said, I'll be back. I've never heard that once. I've heard people say to their grandchildren and to spouses or friends, make a decision for Jesus and see me on the other side. King David lost his son at birth. And all the while that child was sick and so weakly, David prayed and fasted. And then the child died. And David stopped crying. He got up, washed his face, combed his hair, put on his crown and his robe, and went back to work as the king of Israel. And everybody said, hey, the king must have snapped. His son died, and now he stopped crying, and he's okay. So they went to check on King David to see if he was all right. He says, I'm fine. While my son lived, there was hope that he'd be healed. Now my son has gone home to be with God. He cannot come to me, but I'm going to go to him. That's awesome. How many of you know somebody who died believing in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. If you trust Christ today, they're not going to come to you, but you can make a decision today and go see them. I don't mean right now. I mean, it could be right now. I hope not right now. Don't go anywhere yet. But you can choose Christ. The Bible said that Jesus would not only die, he would willfully die. The Bible also said that he needed to die. Did you know that? The Bible says that Christ would come and need to die. Not for himself, though, says the scriptures. So when we explore the evidence, what do we find? We find that the Bible says from eyewitness accounts that this is the real love of God. It is not that God or that we love God, but that God first loved us and that he sent his son to take away our sins. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by them. Do you know Jesus this morning? As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that Jesus Christ came and he died in our place, fulfilling the law, and not only that, but taking away all of our breaking of the law, and having nailed it to the cross. Yesterday, I was coming down Peyton Drive, and I was on my way to actually swing by Starbucks and come by here to see how things were setting up. And in my hurry to come on down here, driving down the road, you know, it's amazing what the law can do for you. I saw the Chino PD. And he was right in the lane next to me. And apparently I'm a huge hypocrite because I realized my seatbelt wasn't on. So I reached down and very covertly, don't tell me you've not done this. I'm coughing and because he was to my right. I grabbed my seatbelt and clipped it and I thought, I'm safe. And next to me were a bunch of teenagers in a car. And they rolled down their window and they said, hey, Pastor Jack. We're busted. And they clipped their seatbelt together. Lawbreakers, each and every one of us. We wake up to the fact, oh my goodness, I've broken the law. And there the law stands, immovable. Now that officer, he went on his way. He either saw us or he didn't. Doesn't matter. Did we break the law? Yes. Were we caught? No. We might say we got away with it. There will come a time in the end when we will not get away with it. Do you have some secret little sin? Maybe you reached over and you grabbed it and you hid it and you tucked it away and you thought, I'm okay. Nobody knows. Everything's fine. God knows. Yeah, but you know what, Pastor? I'm waiting in the end that when I die, all my good deeds, in fact, I'm working that thing off. I'm going to do a few good things, and then it's going to counter the bad thing. Listen, the Bible says that is impossible, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, what kind of good news is that? Oh, it's great news. The Bible says that Jesus, and I'd appreciate if you respond, Jesus is Lord and... Exactly. Lord and Savior. Lord, I understand that. He's the king. It's his realm. He's the boss. Savior? You can't have a Savior, even though he is the Savior. You can't have a Savior unless you need to be what? Saved. From what? Hey, that seatbelt, you know, reached over and clicked it. I came, so to speak, under the law, fulfilling it. And I was freed from the law. The problem is, I had already broken it. I tried to cover it up. That's all of us. We've broken the law. See, well, Jack, what do I do? Well, I got good news for you, my friend, because we end with this. We celebrate this morning because the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if we explore the evidence, this is what we find. It was predetermined by God. God said thousands and thousands of years in advance he would raise his son from the dead. It's no accident. This week, many of this church will board an airplane and fly to Jerusalem, and they're going to see an empty tomb. And just a stone's throw away from that empty tomb is the side of a hill, a cliff. And it still to this day has the shape of the skull. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was crucified there at the place of the skull and buried in a nearby tomb. And that tomb is emptied. The evidence is overwhelming. Eyewitness accounts. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was predetermined by God because, listen, number one reason, God's love is greater than the grave. You ever think of that? Listen, just because you die doesn't mean you're dead. It means you've moved. Where did you move? That's the question. Where'd he go? Jesus Christ, the Bible says, rose from the dead that we might have the assurance of eternal life. Did you notice this morning before the wind started blowing how it was getting kind of hot? Now, this has been an amazing morning already. When I got here, it was cold, kind of foggy. Then it started getting kind of just right. Then it got hot. And I kept opening and closing my jacket, standing in the shade, moving around. And I forgot about our earlier prayer, Lord, send a breeze. We prayed that hours earlier today. And then the breeze starts up, and oh, Lord, thank you. We are so spoiled, are we? We are spoiled people. God is so good. But you know the truth of the matter is for a moment there it was getting hot, and for those of you who attend Calvary Chapel, we got a little hot this morning, but remember what the deal is? Even if it was 105 today, it's as hot as it gets for the Christian. It won't get any hotter than that. Why? Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's alive. When we explore the evidence, we see that even to this hour, people are afraid of Jesus. They try to hide his message. They're trying to cover up, and they write books that Jesus could not have risen from the dead. You pick up Lee Strobel's book, who tried to go out and prove scientifically that Jesus could not have risen from the dead. And he winds up getting converted to Christ, and now he's a apologist all around the world proving that Christ rose from the dead. You look at a man like Josh McDowell, who went all over universities mocking Christianity and the Bible and the resurrection of Christ. And as he studied the evidence and went all around the world, guess what happened to Josh McDowell? He wound up getting converted to Christ. And now he goes all around the world preaching the evidence of the cross and of the resurrection. You can't deny it. Well, let me put it to you this way. You can deny it, but it doesn't change the facts. The facts is Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he's real, and he loves you. And listen, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I will boast in the Lord. Where is Buddha? You see, he's right here around my neck. I got a little Buddha around my neck. Well, that's an image of Buddha. But where's Buddha? Where's Joseph Smith? Where's Muhammad? Out of all the founders of religions, where are they? You can visit their tombs and their sites. There's one who said, I'm coming, I will die by crucifixion, I'll be raised from the dead 3 days later, it's going to turn the world upside down, or maybe we should say right side up. He said it in advance, the Bible's written about him, he has a name, and that name, Jesus, is above every name. And I ask you this morning, where's Jesus? The Bible says, and we know, that he's in heaven. And the Bible says he's coming back for us. We know that the resurrection, according to the Bible, was predetermined because God's love and God's power is greater than the grave and death. For the believer this morning, death is just a passageway. It's how we shed, so to speak, this body for now and go to be with him. It's amazing. It's awesome. God's love for us and his power by raising Jesus from the dead guaranteed eternal life for us. You say, well, how can I know if the Bible and what it says is true? Look to Christ. Listen, if anybody wants to tear down Christianity and destroy it, I'll give you a clue right now. Destroy the resurrection of Jesus and you got us. Destroy the resurrection of Christ and you win. The truth is, God's love has triumphed over sin and evil. When Jesus said, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men to me. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, this doesn't have to be a mystery at all. The truth of the matter is, Jesus is risen, and his message is, from the moment of his ministry, he says, repent. That's an old-fashioned word. It means change your mind because the kingdom of God is near. Change your mind. And God is asking you this morning, change your mind. You might be here. Maybe you're some big burly guy, you know, and you're the quintessential contractor, you know. You're all scarred up and weathery and gnarly kind of guy, and you're your own man. That's great. Maybe this morning you're a... You know, I don't know, a dainty kind of a CPA kind of guy. Now, don't write me if you're a CPA. I'm not picking on anybody, but give me a break. From one end to the other, okay, you're like, you know, like David or Goliath kind of a guy. Jesus knows everything about you. And you've heard him in your heart and in your mind all these years, and today has been the day when the Lord is speaking to you, and he's saying, see, I told you. And that still small voice, when you thought you were sneaking and doing that thing, I was with you. I saw the whole thing, Jim. I saw the whole thing, Bob. Susie, I knew exactly where you were. And Betty, I know everything you've gone through. and how you feel, all of you together feel unworthy of my love. Well, you know what? Christ would say, I understand that. That's where true worship comes from. Your heart of appreciation and love. I want to leave you with this. My friend, the evidence for Christ having lived, performing all of his miracles, being beaten to the brink of death and resurrected from the dead is overwhelming, and you cannot deny it. It is overwhelming. I want to leave this picture in your mind. I was doing a funeral at Rose Hills, and to a young child who can't understand, maybe we can't either, this young child, after the service, peered into the casket, and I didn't think this was a good idea, but that's not my business. This young child peered into that casket, and there was Grandpa laying there, and that little kid with tears said, Grandpa, get up! Get up, Grandpa! And as I was preparing this brief evangelistic message this morning, I thought about that for a minute. I remember hearing that little girl, and I remember in my mind thinking, God, let that old man in that coffin just cough right now or hiccup or raise his hand or get out of there. When I heard her, she didn't understand nothing. She did not understand that Grandpa was laying around. Maybe she thought he was playing a game. Grandpa, get up. He never got up. She couldn't understand it. She's grabbing his clothes. It was a scene. They had to pull her away. What's in her mind? What's in her heart? Jesus wept at a funeral. Even though Jesus knew he was going to raise that man from the dead, before he did it, he saw the grief on everyone's heart and he wept. And then he called forth Lazarus from the tomb. Grandpa, get up. That little girl, she'll see her grandpa again. He was a man who loved the Lord Jesus. Wasn't a religious man. I'm not a religious man. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't put on a suit. God knows. You know I don't put on a suit. All of you have been asking me, it's not raining. What are you wearing a tie for? Because he's raining. That's why I'm wearing a tie. And my wife wanted me to wear a suit.
Well, if there ever is an occasion to sport a suit, I suppose it would be to celebrate the risen Redeemer. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the pages of Scripture and history that demonstrates that because he is God, Jesus lives. The title of the message, He is Risen. He is risen indeed. And of course, today we heard part two of this presentation that we bring to you here on today's Good Friday edition of Real Radio. On Monday's broadcast, we'll resume our regularly scheduled programming. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us for any reason, get in touch with us here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Now, there's more than one way to do so. You can always pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or better yet, give us a call at area code 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. If you'd like to put things down on paper and do it the traditional way, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.